Приветствую вас, братья и сестры.
I greet you in the name of Christ.
Слава Богу, что мы можем быть разных национальностей и может нас разделять различные континенты.
I praise the Lord that we can be of different nationalities and live on different continents.
Но нас может соединять одно, то есть мы являемся братьями, нас соединяет Иисус Христос.
But we have one common bond, and that is the connection of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Слава Богу, что у нас такая большая семья.
Praise the Lord, we have such a big family.
Я бы хотел с вами сейчас поразмышлять над темой о Боге, о Его любви, о Его всепрощении.
I would like for us to think a little tonight about our God, our loving and just God.
Знаете, иногда читая люди, которые или только уже уверовали, или только на пути к вере, они, читая Ветхий и Новый Завет, у них складывается впечатление, что Бог Ветхого Завета и Нового – это разный Бог.
Sometimes when people come to know the Lord or don't know Him at all, if they read the Bible, they get the impression that the God of the Old Testament isn't the same God as the God of the New Testament.
Они говорят, что Бог Ветхого Завета, Он жестокий, Он наказывает, а Бог Нового Завета – это Бог всепрощения, Бог любви.
And they say that the God of the Old Testament is a cruel and wrathful God, but the God of the New Testament is a loving God.
Они говорят, что Бог Ветхого Завета, он не дает, Он несправедлив по отношению к людям. Бог Ветхого Завета избрал одних людей, а других не избрал.
And they say that the God of the Old Testament was very cruel to people, and that He picked one nation and forgot about other nations.
Имеется в виду, иудеев избрал, а язычников нет.
Because He chose the Israelites, and He didn't choose another nation in the Old Testament.
И вот из таких вот заключений делают вывод: вот Бог Ветхого Завета – Бог жестокий, а Бог Нового Завета – это Бог любви. То есть это разные боги.
And because of these improper thoughts about the Bible, they come up with the impression that the God of the Old Testament is cruel and the God of the New Testament is loving.
Но мы знаем, что Господь во все времена тот же самый.
But we know that we serve one God who is unchanging.
Мы знаем, что Господь не меняется. Он был и в Ветхом Завете одинаков, и теперь.
And we know that our God has never changed. He's always the same in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament.
Мы знаем, что Господь, Бог Ветхого и Нового Завета, это Бог любви.
And we know that our God has always been a very loving God.
И мы знаем, что Бог Ветхого и Нового Завета, это всепрощающий, любящий Бог.
And we see in the Old Testament that our God is a loving and all-forgiving God as well.
Очень много текстов говорит о том, что Бог хочет, чтобы его в Ветхом Завете, я имею в виду, Бог хочет, чтобы его прославляли язычников, язычники.
And there are so many texts in the Old Testament where God tells His people that He wants all nations to worship Him.
Я сейчас хочу прочитать только 4 текста, там где Господь хочет, чтобы его славили язычники.
And I would like to read just 4 of those texts where God is imploring the nations to praise Him.
А их больше.
And there are so many more.
Я прочитаю только 4.
And I'd like to just read 4.
Восплещите руками все народы, воскликните Богу гласом радости. Псалом 46:2.
Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Псалом 48:2. Слушайте сие все народы, внимайте сему все живущие во вселенной.
Psalm 49:1. Hear this, all you people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world.
Псалом 85:9. Все народы, Тобою сотворенные, придут и поклонятся перед Тобой, Господи, и прославят имя Твое.
Psalm 86:9. All nations who Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name.
3 Царств 8:60. Чтобы все народы познали, что Господь есть Бог и нет кроме Его.
1 Kings 8:60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else.
Я прочитал только 4 текста.
I just read 4 verses.
Это Ветхий Завет.
Old Testament verses.
На основании этих текстов уже можем делать вывод, что Бог хотел, чтобы Его славили язычники.
And just from these four verses, we can draw a conclusion that the God of the Old Testament wanted all nations to serve him.
Бог не отстранялся от язычников.
The Lord didn't disconnect himself with the Gentiles.
Эти тексты уже могут подтолкнуть верующих на возвещение Евангелия.
Those Old Testament texts should have thrust out the Israelites into the world to tell people about their God.
Бог хотел, чтобы его прославляли все народы, и язычники, и иудеи.
Our God wanted in the Old Testament that all nations should serve him, the Israelites and the Gentiles.
Но мы видим исторически, иудеи, они как бы сделали большие барьеры между собой и язычниками.
And historically we see that the Jews put up a big barrier between themselves and the Gentiles.
Мы знаем, иудеи с самарянами не общались. Мы знаем, кто такие самаряне. Наполовину иудеи, наполовину язычники. Да?
We know that the Jews with the Samaritans didn't fellowship.
А что уже говорить за язычников? Они вообще с язычниками ничего не хотели иметь общего.
And if they wouldn't have fellowship with half-Jews, that tells you that they wouldn't even go near a Gentile.
Но мы не видим такого отношения Бога к язычникам в Писании.
But we don't see that type of attention towards Gentiles in the Bible. God doesn't act towards them like that.
Я имею в виду даже Ветхий Завет.
In the Old Testament.
Смотрите, на примере Иона, Бог направляет Иону, чтобы он проповедовал в Ниневии.
And the book of Jonah is a wonderful example of that. God sent the prophet Jonah to the Ninevites to tell them about himself.
И мы видим, помним реакцию, да, Ионы, что он сделал? Он убежал, он не хотел туда, в Ниневию идти.
And you remember how Jonah reacted to God's call? No, and he ran away.
До Бога дошли, что дела Ниневии злы, и он хотел наказать, да, в этом плане.
And our righteous God saw the acts of the Ninevites, and he was going to punish them.
Но перед тем он послал пророка Иону, иди, говори.
Because he's a just God, he sent his prophet Jonah to tell them to repent.
Но Иона убежал, он не хотел там свидетельствовать. То есть здесь, с одной стороны, можем говорить, на Иону действовало подсознание именно, что спасение только для иудеев, язычники недостойны.
And we see Jonah's reaction, he ran away. And what we think is happening is his culture is affecting him. His culture that only the Jews shall be saved.
Ведь это культурно. Это у иудеев это было культурно так. То есть культура давила на Иону. Все-таки мы все люди, все можем заблуждаться в этом плане.
And we see that Jonah's culture was driving back what God had for him. We're all people and we can all allow the world to affect our relationship with God.
Иона тоже такой человек, как и мы.
Jonah was just an ordinary man.
И смотрите, Библия даже нам подсказывает, говорит о том, почему Иона убежал.
And the Bible tells us why Jonah fled.
Иона 4:2, я читаю. «Потому я и побежал в Фарсис, ибо знал, что ты Бог благий и милосердный».
And Jonah 4:2 tells us why he fled. Jonah says, "Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil."
Смотрите, ответ, да? Иона знал, что Бог благий и милосердный, и он может простить Ниневию. Мы знаем, что Ниневия покаялась. Они постились и просили Бога прощения.
And his answer why he fled was that God was gracious and he knew that if they repented that God would forgive the Ninevites.
Если бы Бог не любил язычников, зачем бы он посылал туда Иону проповедовать? Просто взял бы, стер Ниневию с лица земли и все, и проблема решена.
If God hated the Gentiles, he would have just wiped them off, the Ninevites, he would have just wiped them off the face of the earth. But in his loving kindness, he sent a prophet to tell them to repent.
Почему он ищет Иону, его заставил? Мы помним, как Иона попал в чрево кита, да, и прошло какое-то, как бы много времени, но Господь все-таки заставил Иону идти в Ниневию. Господь, потому что Господь любит всех людей.
And we see in the book of Jonah that God truly loves all people, and he went to such an extent to get Jonah to go to the Ninevites to tell them of his love for them.
Господь не разделяет на национальности, и для него не важно, какая национальность, для него главное отношение сердца человека с Богом.
And praise the Lord that our God doesn't look on our nationality. He doesn't look on where we come from. He looks at our heart and our heart relationship with Him.
Книга Ионы – это пример Божьей любви даже язычникам, для того, чтобы иудеи свидетельствовали о силе Божьей.
The book of Jonah is a wonderful testimony in the Old Testament of God's love to the Gentiles. And an example, it should have been an example to the Jews of what they were supposed to be doing in spreading the word of God.
Дальше мы видим, что Бог делал чудеса не только с иудеями, но делал и с язычниками.
And we also see that God did miracles not only with the Jews, but also with the Gentiles in the Old Testament.
Все помним такую историю о полководце Неемане, который исцелился от проказы.
You should all remember the story of Naaman, a Gentile soldier who was healed of leprosy.
Мы все знаем, что он не был иудеем, он был язычником.
He wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile.
И смотрите, что говорил Иисус Христос по этой истории.
What did Jesus say about Naaman in the New Testament in Luke 4?
Лука 4:27, я читаю. Много также было прокаженных в Израиле при пророке Елисее, но ни один из них не очистился, кроме Неемана сириянина.
Luke 4:27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian.
И смотрите, это Господь здесь дает иудеям понять, что Бог дает свою благодать не только к иудеям, но и к язычникам. Он и над ними делает чудеса, он и язычников любит.
And our Lord was giving the Jews of his time an example that our God desires for all people to be saved, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well.
Посмотрите реакцию этих фарисеев.
But let's look at the reaction, how the Jews received Jesus' words.
Дальше, следующий стих, 4:28. Услышав это все, в синагоге исполнились ярости.
Luke 4:28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
Это их бесило, то, что и Бог любит язычников, ведь они только себя считали спасенными, а язычников обычно считалось в иудейском мире, что это дрова для ада.
And they were mad, because in their worldview, they thought that only they, the Jews, were God's chosen people and worthy to be saved. Their opinion was that Gentiles were the wood for hell.
Для Бога нету значение, какой национальности человек. Для него важно отношение сердца с Богом. Мы смотрим, мы видим, не Нейман, он уверовал в Бога, и Господь исцелил. Ни один иудей не исцелился, а Господь исцелил язычника.
And the Lord Jesus was reminding the Israelites that it doesn't matter what tribe of people you were born into or where you were born. It matters your heart's preparedness and your fellowship with the Lord God. And he used the example of Naaman to show that a Gentile was saved healed from leprosy, and no Jews at that time were.
Бог давал шанс уверовать в себя, как бы давал шанс и даже в ветхие времена. Бог свидетельствовал о себе тогда, даже когда иудеи не свидетельствовали.
We also see that our God performed many miracles to show the Gentiles of the Old Testament his power, because the Jews weren't going out and telling them about himself.
Мы помним много ситуаций там, где Бог явно проявляет чудо, когда он спасает израильский народ от разных неприятелей, которые хотят их захватить, поработить и так далее. Бог вмешивался и делал чудеса. И язычники видели эту силу, они видели силу Божию.
The Old Testament is full of God's miracles with the nation of Israel, showing the Gentile nations that their God was powerful. He saved them. He brought them out of bondage. And the Gentiles knew that the God of Israel was a strong God, a powerful God.
Они видели, что Бог Яхве очень силен, и они боялись Яхве.
They knew the God of Jacob was powerful, and they were afraid of him.
Они знали Бога Израиля не понаслышке, они видели. И мы видим Ниневия, то же самое, язычника, они убоялись.
And we know by the Old Testament stories that the Gentiles were afraid of God. And the book of Jonah is a wonderful example of the Ninevites. When they knew they were going to be destroyed, they repented because they believed that the God of Israel was a powerful God.
Даже во времена Ветхого Завета у язычников был шанс войти в Божий народ. Про таких людей, как прозелиты, я думаю, вы слышали. Это язычники, которые стали иудеями, то есть приняли иудейство.
And our God also gave Gentiles the opportunity to come into His chosen people during the Old Testament. And that was the process of becoming a proselyte.
То есть, как бы, говорят, что их было немало. Но, в принципе, теоретически их бы могло быть еще больше, да? Если бы Израиль свидетельствовал, рассказывал язычникам о спасении.
And the Gentiles were to undergo some type of rituals to come into to be a Jew. They were many in the Old Testament, but they could have been so much more had the Jews gone out and done the witnessing that they should have.
Говорят, что про какую евангелизацию можно говорить, когда сами же иудеи часто были неверны. Вы смотрите, большинство царей в Израиле это были неверные люди.
When you read the Old Testament, you see all the problems that was in the Israelite nation, and you think, what? How could they have gone out witnessing when they had so many problems within their nation?
Часто цари иудейские, они начинали поклоняться идолу, то есть Ваалу и так далее, и за ними это повторяли их народ, потому что очень часто мы берем пример у тех управителей своих.
We see that many of the Israelite kings were evil and they bowed down to worship idols and the people followed them in that. It's such an important thing to have leaders who are godly and who can lead you in godliness.
Как бы говорят, какие евангелизации? Тут бы со своим народом справиться, а еще идти куда-то, да, можно сказать.
And in our day, today, we would say, we have so many problems in our church, we can't go out witnessing, we got to take care of ourselves first.
Но смотрите, язычники, на язычников, они очень агрессивно делали свою работу.
But if we look at the Gentiles in the Old Testament, they weren't idle. They were out there preaching about their gods.
Они шли в Израиле, проповедовали про своих богов. И смотрите реакции. Израиль больше был в поклонении язычникам, чем поклонении Бога.
And if we look at the Old Testament, we see that so many times the Gentiles swayed the people of God to worship idols. They were attacking, whereas the Israelites weren't.
Кто играет в шахматы, там есть такое, как бы, можно сказать, один из законов.
If any of you play chess, perhaps you've heard one of the main rules of chess.
Говорят, лучшая защита – это нападение.
The best defense is a good offense.
Если ты только защищаешься, то есть большая вероятность, ты проиграешь шахматы.
And if you just defend yourself, you're more than likely to lose the chess match.
Иудеи закрылись. Они вошли в глухую оборону.
The Jews, we could say, were just defending themselves. They went, they put up their defenses to ward off attack.
Евангелие – это нападение. Это нападение на царство тьмы.
And we know that the Word of God is an attacking force that battles into the kingdom of darkness in this world.
Мы выиграем, если мы будем нападать, если мы будем наступать, если не только мы будем защищаться.
We will win if we go out into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ and not just defend ourselves from the world.
Мы смотрите, в Новом Завете часто апостол Павел, он сравнивает христианина с кем? С воином.
And we see in the New Testament that the apostle Paul often makes the connection of a believer with a soldier.
Он описывает его одеяние, он описывает меч, он описывает щит и так далее.
He tells us about the armor that believers have and the sword of the word and the shield of faith that we have.
Для щит и меч воин нужен не только для защиты, но и для наступления.
And that's a good example that we need these tools, a shield and a sword, not just for defense, but for offense as well.
Господь хочет, чтобы мы наступали.
God wants us to go forth and attack.
Господь хочет, чтобы мы захватывали, отвоевывали те земли, которые были даны, да, допущены сатане.
And it is the desire of God that we as believers go out into the world and take back what Satan has claimed for himself.
Говорят, но нет уже конкретных текстов, чтобы делать в Евангелие, то есть распространять Евангелие среди язычников. Говорят, что Бог конкретно не посылают язычники, то есть иудеи, идите проповедуйте язычникам.
And people say that in the Old Testament there are no clear texts where God commands the Jews to go and witness to the Gentiles.
Но смотрите, сколько текстов говорят о том, что Бог хочет, чтобы язычники его славили, прославляли.
But we just read four texts, and there are so many more, where God tells the Jews that he desires for all people to know him.
И уже на основании этих текстов мы можем делать выводы, да?
And they should have been able to draw a firm conclusion from just those four texts.
Что Бог не дистанцируется от язычников. Он не такой, что он не хочет с ними ничего общего иметь.
That God wasn't distancing himself from the Gentiles, that he didn't want to have anything to do with them.
Я возьму такой простой пример, приведу.
I'd like to just give you one example.
Вы, например, я иду с женой, или вы идете со своей женой, да, прогуливаетесь.
You're walking with your wife one evening.
И ваша жена проходит возле цветочного магазина и говорит: «Ох, какие красивые цветы! Я бы так хотела такие иметь».
And you walk by a flower store, and your wife says: «Oh, what beautiful flowers! I would like to have some of those».
Ваша реакция: вы будете ждать команды: «Иди мне купи цветы», или вы пойдете и купите сами?
And what is your reaction, husband? Are you going to wait for her to command you to go buy you flowers? Or do you understand that she would really like to have some flowers?
Также и здесь мы видим, что Бог хочет, чтобы язычники, Он хотел, чтобы язычники славили Его. А для этого людям надо было свидетельствовать.
And we see that that's what was happening in the Old Testament. The Lord told His people that He wanted the Gentiles to know about Him. And they should have taken that and run with it and witnessed.
Бог Ветхого Завета и Нового Завета тот же самый Бог.
The God of the Old and New Testament is the same God.
Amen. Бог Ветхого Завета и Нового Завета любящий и всепрощающий Бог.
Our God is a loving and forgiving God.
Бог сделал через Авраама народ, который должен был светить в мире, и чтобы язычники, смотря на этот народ, говорили: и мы тоже хотим такими быть, мы тоже хотим быть благословены и спасенными. Бог хотел сделать образец.
God made a people through Abraham, a people that should have shown out into the world and made the Gentiles want what they had. He made them as an example of what should have been.
Однако, на жаль, иудеи очень часто были неверны Богу.
Unfortunately, the Jews were so often unfaithful to God.
Уже не говоря о спасении других народов.
And that doesn't even go into that they weren't witnessing about him.
Иудеи замкнулись в себе, они закрылись.
The Jews closed in on themselves.
И это была их большая ошибка.
And it was their biggest mistake.
Но мы, церковь, мы можем делать на основании Ветхого Завета, мы можем делать как бы выводы из этой ситуации.
But we, the New Testament church, we can make some good conclusions from what happened to the Jewish nation.
Для себя, для конкретной церкви.
For ourselves, for particular churches today.
Церковь не должна закрываться.
Our church should not shut in on itself.
Вы хотите победить? Наступайте.
If you want to be a victorious live church, you have to go out and you have to witness and tell people about the Lord.
Цель церкви – это наступление. Наступление. Евангелие – это наступление.
And our goal should be to use the gospel to go out and to take back what Satan has claimed in this world.
Лучшая защита церкви – это наступление Евангелием.
And the best defense that we can have as a church is to take the word of God and go forth.
Книга Ионы – это пример Божьей любви в Ветхом Завете.
The book of Jonah is a wonderful example of God's love in the Old Testament.
Здесь можно сделать, как бы сказать, что Бог, обобщить, Бог любит всех и хочет, чтобы все люди спаслись.
And we can use that premiere, to that example, to say that God loves everyone that He's created and He desires that they all come to repentance in Him.
Аминь. Сейчас мы покажем наши слайды о служении, которые мы несем в Украине, в городе Мукачево.
And now we would like to show you a little bit about what we do in Ukraine, in the city of Mukachevo.
Так как Лори знает английский совершенство, то она будет озвучивать сама.
And as Lori is fluent in English, she will show you our slides and tell you about what we do in Ukraine.
So, thank you.
We so appreciate you having us here with you tonight to allow us to share the burden that the Lord has given us for Oleg's home country and my second home. We serve the Lord in Ukraine. It got its independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. It's actually the biggest country in Europe, has 45 million people. It's located surrounded by Belarus, Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, and Moldova. We, Oleg and I, live right in the western corner in the little city of Mukachevo. It has about 90,000 people. We're about 30 miles from the border of Hungary. Ukraine is a very modern country in some parts, but where we live, it's like a little country town, and we don't have a lot of amenities. It gets very cold in the wintertime. Most people live in these 9-story buildings that you see. They're concrete with no insulation. They're very cold in the winter and hot in the summertime. Mukachevo is a city of 90,000 people, like I said. It became part of Ukraine in 1945. It had been Hungary. When Stalin came in and liberated Hungary from the Nazis, he took part of Hungary into the Soviet Union. And in 1945, Mukachevo was officially brought into Soviet Ukraine. And so a lot of our architecture, you feel like you're in a little European city. It's very beautiful. Ukraine is also very old. If any of you love history like I do, you'll know that Russia actually started in what is politically today Ukraine, Kyiv Rus. And it has some of the oldest castles in all of Europe that are standing. It's very beautiful and has a really deep, rich history. Although it has so much history, and in parts of Ukraine it's very modern, where we live, we don't have the modern amenities like we here in America take so for granted, like supermarkets. We do most of our shopping at outside markets. We buy our meat in places where you might probably not want to get your meat. I didn't eat meat for the first 6 months I lived there because of the kind of shady places where you have to buy it. But then, although I'm not a vegetarian, I thought, well, Lord, bless this food. And then I went out and bought me some meat. One of the nice things about food in Ukraine is that antibiotics and growth hormone has not come to us yet. And so our food, what you would pay a lot of money for to get organic, is actually organic when you buy it at the market. So that's kind of what I think is a plus about Ukrainian food, and it's very good. Because of the 70 years of communism in Ukraine from the Soviet Union, there's very little deep theological knowledge of God. Our city, Mukachevo, used to be Hungary, and there's a very Catholic influence. So what people know about Jesus Christ is steeped in superstition, steeped in what they heard from their grandmother. They don't really know who Jesus Christ is. They have heard a lot about him, but they don't have any kind of personal relationship with him. But they also have the background of the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church teaching them that they have to work for their salvation, that it's not a gift from Jesus Christ by grace. There's also a lot of mysticism in this part of the world. I looked out my window one morning, and I called Oleg, and I said, "Who is this man?" And he is actually a Russian Orthodox monk who's making a barefoot pilgrimage to holy places in our part of the country. And I noticed that people would go out and give him money, like a missionary, to go to his next spot. And I thought, what a shame. This man isn't preaching the gospel. He's just taking things from people and going on about his way. Ukrainians love to celebrate, and they probably have more holidays on their national calendar than any other people I've ever known. And they have a heart to celebrate, and they are very joyous people. But the Russian Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church in Ukraine don't tell them about the joy of their salvation and a loving and forgiving God who wants to save their souls from sin. They tell them they have to work for their salvation. And that's where we feel like we come in. The Lord has equipped us and called us and given us the knowledge to go out and tell them that Jesus Christ came to save their souls from sin and that he came to do it freely. They don't have to work for their sin. The Lord brought Oleg and I together when I lived in Odessa as a single female missionary. The work that the Lord has called us to do in our city of 90,000 people is to plant a new church. You see all these tall, nine-story buildings in this part of the city. There's no evangelist Baptist work in this part of the city. There's probably about 45 to 50,000 people who live here. And the only gospel witness, per se, is this charismatic church that's being built. And their doctrine, as you know, is not fundamentally sound. The Lord has equipped us to do what he's called us to do by allowing me to get my education at Bob Jones University and Oleg to get his seminary degree from Odessa Theological Seminary in Ukraine. Oleg has served on the deacon board in his home church for a number of years. He preaches regularly. He disciples. The Lord has given him a real gift to disciple people and to spread the word of God from the pulpit as well as witnessing. That's one of his favorite things to do. As he was saved at a later age, he was 27 when he came to know the Lord. He has lots of acquaintances in his city that have seen his changed life, and they often come up to him and ask what the Lord has done for him. One very effective tool that we have seen in Ukraine is the use of small group Bible studies. Because the word Baptist often scares people off and they are not sure what it really is, they won't come into the church. But they will come to your home. And so we have found that having small group Bible studies, just sitting around eating, studying the Word of God, playing games, has been a very effective tool to get people to see that, hey, Baptists aren't weird. They're normal, everyday people who just want to live by the Word of God. One special ministry that the Lord has given me is with a group of girls in a village not too far from where we live. They're all come from non-Christian homes and have been saved through the Awana program. And they're all from the ages of 15 to 20. And now that I have a child, I can't go out to the village as often as I used to. So they come to me now, which is a real blessing, and we're able to do one-on-one discipleship. A ministry that Oleg is very heavily involved in is the hiking ministry. There is a mountain, which is the highest peak in Europe, Mount Gavirla. Oleg and his friend take half believers and half non-believers on three-day hiking trips up to this highest point. And they are able to, in God's wonderful, beautiful nature, get them away from the everyday cares of the world and help them, because it's a very arduous trip up this huge mountain. And at the end of every day, they have Bible study time around the campfire. And they've seen some really wonderful results from these kids just getting away from their friends who tell them not things of the world and just letting the Bible do its work, because it is a two-edged sword and it cuts to the quick. And we've seen some really wonderful results from this ministry. The last time we were home, Oleg was able to go to several church picnics, and they don't do that in Baptist churches there. So what you see here is the first Gogol Street Baptist picnic that Oleg was able to organize when we went home. You don't realize how much an impact church fellowship has on your church body, and they don't have that there, and perhaps that's why their churches aren't so friendly. So we were able to, and we live in the Carpathian Mountains, to go out into the mountains, play volleyball, roast meat, and just have a good day of fellowship together. And they're already asking, when is the next church picnic going to be? The Lord's blessed us with a little girl, Abigail, and we are so thankful that she has a missionary attitude right from birth. And she goes with us just about everywhere we go, and she has pretty much adapted her schedule. So when we go out, she sleeps in either her car seat or her stroller, and we're very thankful for that. Unlike America, Ukrainian schools are open to the gospel. So often we take our computer and our projector and we go into the schools and we show Christian videos, Christian cartoons to the children. Oleg will be able to preach a short sermon to them, and then we invite them to Sunday school. And we've seen that the Lord really has opened a venue with children in Mukachevo, and they are really responding to the gospel, and they come to our Sunday school program at church. Oleg was raised in an orphanage in Mukachevo, and because of that,
The Lord's given him a real in there, and the kids really listen to him. So we were able to go into the orphanage, not as much as we would like because the director is against believers. But he does let us in sometimes, and Oleg is able to preach to them. We're able to give them things to help them out and share the gospel with them. And it's a neat ministry for me to see how these kids relate to my husband, because he's able to tell them the only way you're going to get out of this horrible situation that you're in is if you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and ask Jesus to be your Savior. And then it's not just going to be you fighting the world, it's going to be God with you fighting the world. One wonderful ministry that we have, a ministry to us as well as the people of Mukachevo, is our supporting churches come and do camps every year. Oleg and I are very athletic, and so we've always had athletic camps, basketball, soccer. They will come and do 1 week camps. There are always Bible times, even at the sports camps. We have a celebration at church to try to get their kids' families into the church to see that what we're doing is not just trying to instill athletic qualities, but also biblical qualities in their children. We have lots of fun. Everybody always tells us, when can we come again, as do their parents, because they see being a Christian is fun that you can have that you don't have to be sorry about the next day. This year, a really neat thing that we've started doing with our teams when they come in is to go out into the places where people live and do ministry, basketball ministry, soccer ministry, whatever the team comes, their particular goals, their particular skills are. We had a wonderful new ministry for us this year. Friendship Baptist Church from Raleigh, North Carolina, which is our sending church, came for a week to do a music camp. Those of us who heard us singing know that we make a joyful noise to the Lord, and we didn't really know how we were going to be able to help them. But they came so prepared, and they taught us how to do this. And so we hope that each year we will be able to have a music camp for our kids. It was like a VBS with emphasis on music. We had about 50 children from different backgrounds come to these camps. We had a concert at church. They played the hand chimes, and every one of their parents came. And it was such a joy for us to have these probably upper-class families come into our church and see that Baptists are normal people, not what they've been told about us. And so we are really excited. We have a hand chime choir at our church now with these same kids coming to our church every day, and we're really excited about that. We also, with each group, we go out. With the group that came this year, we had a traveling hand chime choir, and we just had throngs of people coming to hear these because they don't have those there, and it was just a really neat time of ministry. Oleg is very committed to independent Baptist church work in Ukraine, and our desire is for the men who work with us while we're getting this church started, that they might be able to support themselves. So Oleg started a small business insulating these 9-story concrete buildings. He learned how to hang like an industrial, like window cleaner here in the States, and he insulates these buildings. Ukrainians love to drink coffee, and this I thought was a funny picture of him drinking coffee hanging off the side of a building. And that's the final work, the final result, as an apartment that is insulated, that's cool in the winter, cool in the summer, and warm in the winter. It is a ministry as well as a way for people who work with us to be able to support themselves, and we're really excited about how the Lord's blessing that. If any of you live far away from home and have children that you love and don't have grandparents to take care of them, you know what a blessing it is to have a babysitter who loves your child and who you trust. And we are so grateful for Natasha, who is a girl who goes to one of my Bible studies, who has fell in love with our daughter. And we know when our schedule doesn't fit in with Abigail's schedule, we can leave her with Natasha and do the work of the Lord and not have to worry about our child. And we are so thankful for that. We would like to ask you to pray for us, that the Lord would give us spiritual and physical strength. Sometimes it's very difficult living on the mission field. Oleg is at home, and so it's not as hard for him as it is for me sometimes. And we just ask that you pray for also for our family. If we aren't strong in our marriage and with our family, there's no way we're going to be able to do a united front and tell people about the Lord. So we would ask that you pray for us in that way. We are leaving to go back to Ukraine on May the 4th, that the Lord would give us wisdom as we start this new church plant. There's a lot of opposition to the independentness of it, that the Lord would give us wisdom and all the politics of that as well. That the Lord would allow us to raise the needed support to rent facilities as we start this new church. The Ukrainian idea of what a church is a building. So if you don't have somewhere for them to come, they think that you're weird. And so for church playing in Ukraine, it is very important to have a building. So we ask that you pray that the Lord provide our need. Also, that we would never forget the reason why we're there, to witness to people about Jesus Christ and to help train up new people, new believers, that they would be able to grow in their faith. And then for endurance, that we wouldn't just give up, or when we get depressed or sad, that we wouldn't let our just hang our hands, but that we would remember that the end goal, that the Lord is with us, and that we would keep on going when we don't want to. So we covet your prayers, and we thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Chance, before they go down, she has a mic. There's a question you'd like to ask them about Ukraine in the ministry. Anyone have a question at all? Yes, sister.
Yes, it does. It actually gets very hot, and they don't have air conditioning there, so it gets in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm. That's hot.
I guess I forgot. We forgot to put pictures of it being hot there, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
It gets really hot and very cold.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Законы свободы дают, вот чтобы евангелизировать.
Да, сейчас в Украине полная свобода. Очень много миссионеров из Америки.
We praise the Lord that we have total freedom to share the gospel, and we have a lot of missionaries. In the central Ukraine.
Вообще Украина была сейчас признана самая свободная по информации по всему страна из бывшего СНГ.
Ukraine was just announced as the freest country of all the former Soviet bloc countries in regards to the news, in regards to any kind. It's a very free nation.
Да, конечно, открыто, без проблем. Сейчас на Украине именно свобода в религии, государство вообще не мешает.
The only thing you have to do is get permission, but they always give you permission to do that. We have, especially in the summer, we have lots of evangelistic meetings outside.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Someone else like to ask a question? Yes, sir, brother.
Ты был на Украине,
когда что?
Когда уверовал.
Да, yes.
Yes.
Amen. Это... Ну, это давно было, это было в 1997 году.
It was in 1997, actually right after the Soviet Union fell.
Amen. Amen. Someone, yes, sir.
Даже три языка там,
she speaks three languages already. But of course she speaks
русский.
Mostly English because I'm with her most, but she understands Russian and Ukrainian. And when Oleg works with her, then she'll come. Then I can hear them talking. It's really neat. She knows to talk to him in Russian or Ukrainian, and she talks to me and her grandparents in English. I thought, I wish
and
I
how,
had her
how
mind.
Old is she?
She's 22 months.
How about that?
Говорят, дети пять языков могут сразу учить.
She's got to learn Johnson County language.
Well, they say that children can learn five languages at one time, so we'll get that Johnson County in there with that.
Amen. Someone else have a question? Yes, sister.
Российская агрессия. Они это влияет на Украину, Россия?
Влияет.
Unfortunately, Russia is very aggressive, and they're trying to suppress Ukraine back under their
Россия
rule.
Россия очень как бы большое влияние имеет на Украину и из-за экономики. Украина очень сильно зависит от России.
And it's mostly an economic influence because Ukraine very heavily depends upon Russia to sell its goods.
Последнее это с газом было связано.
And perhaps you've heard about the gas wars in Europe, and that's Russia's big stick right now.
что да.
Someone else have a question? Yes, sir. How are the people
receptive to? Они принимают Евангелие, там слушают.
Да, слушают очень много. Конечно, в последнее время очень как бы усилило направление как бы евангелизацию именно католики, православные, можно сказать.
They are very open to the gospel, but unfortunately, the Catholic Church and the Russian Orthodox Church have begun to aggressively evangelize as well, and as that is the cultural and sphere of the people, they are moving more towards that.
Ну, много людей держатся за, например, за веру, за религию, из-за того, что это религия их отцов. Там, например, он православный, говорит, мой папа был православный, мой дед, и я не хочу как бы менять ее.
And we often hear when we witness that I'm Orthodox because my father was Orthodox and my grandfather was Orthodox, and it's that tradition that is holding them back.
Kind of like America. I'm a Baptist. My dad was a Baptist.
The Bible Belt, just very similar to the Bible Belt.
И поэтому как бы тяжело, конечно, но уже факт в том, что они признают себя христианами, и это уже хорошо, что можно с ними поговорить о именно о богословии, например, о Иисусе Христе.
They call themselves Christians, and so that is a common point that we can start a conversation with them because we're Christians as well. So.
Amen. Anyone else have a question? Could I ask? He was an orphan, raised in an orphanage.
Ты воспитывался в интернате.
Да, yes.
Yes. Amen. Isn't that amazing? How God reached into an orphanage, called him in to preach, sent him a wife to America. This is a good team. Amen. This is a good team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've listened. She only missed two words in translation the whole time.
Он проверил мой перевод. Два слова. Я правильно переводила.
Amen. Yes,
and I wasn't preaching, I promise.
Yes.
Do you have favorite foods over there?
Наша любимая еда, которая борщ.
Ну, в Украине, да, это борщ и вареники. То есть это объясни.
Perhaps you've heard of borscht. It's a cabbage soup. And that's really good and hearty on cold winter nights. And you can cook a big pot of it and it'll last for a while.
Да, и все со сметаной. То есть это
and they
и
love
первое, и второе
to put sour cream in everything that they make. And so I'm gotten used to putting a little sour cream in all my food now. And then there's something called vareniki. And they're very similar to ravioli, but they have different kinds of fillings. Potato with mushroom, cabbage. They love cabbage. So we're big cabbage eaters.
Has the colonel got there yet?
No, unfortunately. I was hoping that a Chick-fil-A would kind of move over there, but it hasn't yet.
Amen.
He teases me about my love for chicken sandwiches. But I was like, when I'm here, I'm going to eat as many as I can.